Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for another opportunity to look at your word. We pray that we might be edified and that you might be glorified. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to go over something today that I've put together some time ago. But I've been thinking about this, and so much of this is going to apply to me. I don't know about you, but it's going to apply to me. And what I want to talk about today, and I do write in cursive, so I hope everyone can read it. We're going to talk about one thing. Now, this is going to be versus all things, which I think Tracy has gone over before. Dan Gross usually goes over them. But I found that through the Bible, you can find this phrase, one thing, in many places. We're not going to look at all of them, but I've selected four that we're going to look at, and look at it in the context of what's being talked about. The first one, and I'll write the verses up here, the reference up here, is going to be Psalms 27, verse 4. So let's look at that one. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, I'm thinking that it's, you know, time for a little bit of emotion. I'm not an emotional person. But everything we're going to talk about today is going to be seated in emotions. And I understand that the book of Psalms is primarily something written for Israel. This is a psalm of David. He has been called a prophet. But he also has been called a man after God's own heart, which has always been amazing to me, because David was not a nice man. He was a terrible father. I don't think you'd want to be friends with him. But yet here's a man who is called a man after God's own heart, because he understood something. And this verse 4, I think, helps us to see into his heart a little bit. One thing. Think of all the things that he has encountered and has gone through. But he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I think that's why he's called a man after God's own heart, because he was interested in the relationship that he could have with God. And in expressing this, he is looking toward the future as well. That's where I'm going to be for eternity. I'm going to be with him. And he says, that's the one thing that I've desired. Now, we often think of the Old Testament as, you know, here's this, the old set of laws, and God is this God of judgment, and this is the way we often picture it. But I want to show you something. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now, when he's addressing Sodom and Gomorrah, but who's he talking to? He's talking to the Jews. But this is how far they have fallen. God is now calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who required those sacrifices? God did. God required them, but something has gone wrong with these people. Severely wrong, to the point that he's calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. They missed the point. They were going through the motions, but they have missed God. We know the language. We know how to talk the talk. We know how to make people think that everything's okay with us. But if the truth is not there, if that relationship is not there, they're just words. We know the facial expressions. I used to say this to students at school. So when you go in the chapel service, they know how to look. They know how to close their eyes and how to raise their hands and maybe up on their toes. And I think you're not fooling anybody. You're not, you know, you might be fooling people, but you're not fooling God. God sees your heart. So here are these people making these sacrifices and doing what God has told them to do in the law, but he says, I hate it. I hate it. That was not what he wanted. Those sacrifices meant something. They were mainly a picture of the sacrifice of Christ. And they were ruining it by just going through the motions and leaving behind the emotion. Going on here in Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So let's reason this out. So, and this is God saying this. Let's talk about this. Why would you be this way? Because what God is saying to them, I just want to show you grace. And back to that desire of David's, this is why we were made. Look in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4:11. This is a song that's being sung in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Why were we created? Why was the world created? Why do we exist? For his pleasure. And I think what God is saying back there in Isaiah, you're not giving me much pleasure. You've missed the boat. Now, with these also, I want to look at the rightly divided truth, since we're in the Old Testament. If you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. First Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? David's desire was to inquire of the Lord in his temple, to behold that beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple all the days of his life. Well, now the amazing thing is, we are the temple. God, through his Spirit, dwells in us. So there can be those times that I can just sit and think about the beauty of the Lord. Do we do this? Do we meditate? And for me, the best way to meditate is to take your Bible, maybe go to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and be somewhere where you can be quiet. And I'm not talking about just taking a verse. Take a whole book and sit quietly and read that and let the Spirit just speak to you from those words. Those are his words. And to think on those things. To give that time to him. Well, that's the first one thing. The second one is in Luke. Chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. And, you know, I think, and again, as this applies to me, I start thinking about all the things that need to be done. And there's so many things that need to be done, and we look at other people that are not helping and we start to resent them. And we think, God, what's wrong with them? Why don't you do something to cause them to get up and to help? And here's Jesus Christ saying to Martha, one thing is needful. That's what Mary's doing, sitting at the feet of Jesus. So again, this whole idea of take his word, sit and listen, be still. That doesn't mean that we're leaving the rightly divided truth for something else. It's God, the Creator. Here we are, his temple. He dwells inside of us. In Matthew 23:23, Matthew 23:23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He says these were the weightier matters of the law, that the judgment, mercy, and faith. Yeah, you should have done all those things that the law prescribes, but think about these other things that have to do with your relationship with God. Don't leave those undone. But the problem was they were. And the interesting thing I have found in Matthew 23, strong words from Jesus Christ to the scribes and Pharisees. And one thing I've noticed is that there is a certain church, and I won't name the church, but everything that Jesus Christ said don't do, they do. Every last thing. He gave them warning, but they do it. And I think what he's saying here is, take a look inside. What's going on? All right, let's look at the rightly divided truth about this. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, this is a passage that Tracy has gone over quite a bit. Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. This is just like Jesus Christ saying to Martha, one thing is needful. We get cumbered about with so many things. I mean, I know, again, speaking for myself, I start to worry about things. And then I have to understand that worry doesn't change those things. That worry doesn't solve those things. And here he says, let your request, it was with thanksgiving, and that's the important part, let your request be made known unto God. Don't worry about it. Let your request be made known unto God. And I said to you before that I'll request anything. I don't care what it is. Something that I want, something that I think I need, I'm going to request it because I'm going to take it to Him. And he says, do that with thanksgiving. I'm going to have a thankful heart. And as I have often done, maybe you haven't, but you know, I might be praying for something and I'll say, God, I thank you that I'm with you. And I know I'm not supposed to pray for these things today, but here goes. And I do it anyway. Because that's what he said to do. And that brings the elimination of that worry and that care. And it's back to that, what he said to Martha, one thing is needful. One thing. Not 100 things, one thing. So I can be, you know, looking at everything that needs to be done. But you know what God is seeing? The one thing. Where's your heart? And the need to give him thanks. And another verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. There was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why I say, take your Bible, sit down, sit at his feet in a sense, and hear his word. And as that one cartoon in the bulletin said, you want to hear the audible voice of God? Read the word of God, the scriptures out loud. That's the audible voice of God. That's God speaking. But listen. Get familiar with his voice. Come to understand his voice. All right, the next one. Book of John 9:25. John 9:25. Now I like this one. John chapter 9 is one of the funniest chapters in the Bible. I mean, if you read it, it is humorous because it's about the healing of a blind man. And the amazing thing is that Jesus, to heal this man, spits on the ground and makes mud and puts it on his eyes. I think, oh, that's pretty gross. But think about it. When God created man, what did he create man from? The dust of the earth. So I've just always thought of this. I thought, well, I know what Jesus Christ was doing. He's making a brand new pair of eyes for this guy who's blind. But this chapter is, I call it progressive, because the progressive point is him understanding who Christ is. At each step along the way, he's questioned about what happened. And he grows in his knowledge of who he is. But look at chapter 9, verse 25. They're again questioning him. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He's saying, I don't understand the theology. I don't understand these things you're asking me about. But he says, one thing I know. I was blind, but now I can see. Now, here's the point, and I want you to get this. Don't exchange what you know for what you don't know. There are so many things we don't know. You know those why questions? Why did God allow this? And they, you know what the answer is? I don't know. I don't know. I still, from time to time, think about we had a grandson who, I forget what month it was, but he passed away in the womb and was not fully formed when he was born. We were in the hospital room, got to hold him. But you know what? There are no answers to those things. Why did that happen? I don't know. It was a terrible thing. Yes, it was. Why would God allow that? I don't know. There's no answer. And see, we all deal with something, don't we? We all deal with something that causes those questions, and we reach that answer of, I don't know. But look at this. For instance, in the book of Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is something that I do know. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm not going to exchange that for something I don't know. I know this to be true. So what? I don't know the other. This is true. And you can go on, look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's incredible. Holy and without blame? He's not holding anything against me. He's not mad at me. He's not waiting for me to fall on, you know, and do something wrong so he can rub my face in the dirt and say, see, I told you so. He's not making this list of everything that we've done wrong that we thought we got away with, and then we go to heaven and he pulls out this list. That wouldn't be heaven, would it? If I had to listen to those things. I know these things to be true. Look at the end of verse 6. He's made us accepted in the beloved. He accepts me. We talk all the time about having the unsaved accept Christ as their Savior. Well, you know what? When you believe that, he accepts you. He accepted me. So I know that to be true. I'm not going to exchange that for something that I don't know. I don't know the other, but here's what I do know that is true. And I can hang on to this. And then, again, for the rightly divided truth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is one thing I know. And Paul said, I'm not going to talk about anything else. This is the one thing I'm going to talk to you about, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because that's the important matter. That's the important thing. And then verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Here's something else that we can know. And, it, you know, that would keep you busy if you just go through the scriptures and look at all the things that we know. Don't exchange that for what you don't know. God's going to take care of what you don't know. And I just have this suspicion that when I'm in heaven with Him, all those things that I don't know right now, they won't matter. I won't care. I'll be with Him. And some of those questions, you know, how would that be heaven if I was up there trying to worry about those things and figure them out? It won't matter. All right, and then number four. Philippians. And chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Let's look at that one. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's one thing I do. One thing. He says, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. And this is something that I've been dealing with personally. And maybe it's because I've gotten older, I don't know. Would you ever reach a point you look back in your life and you think, I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have turned right where I turned left. I should have made this decision. Or even think back to the good times. Paul says here, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. It doesn't matter what they are. He says, I'm going to forget them. They're there. They're back there. I'm going forward. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his one desire. And please note that. He says, this one thing I do. Nothing else mattered. This one thing. And also look back in chapter 3 there, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. Now that's an incredible statement to make. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, Paul said, I was blameless. I was obedient. I'm keeping the law. I'm doing all of these things. But in verse 7 he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, some Bible versions, instead of dung, they have the word refuse. Now, I want to tell you something. There's a big difference between dung and refuse. You know what dung is. And Paul, looking at everything that was so good about his life, he says, it's all dung. It doesn't matter. And going on in verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. And then it's later that he says that this one thing I do. This is how this is going to happen. He says that I may know him. So what? I had everything going for me. So what? So what? Everything that seems to just fall apart. Hasn't gone well. So what? And I it's one thing I do. I'm going to forget everything that's behind me. And I'm going to press toward the mark. Because you see, I think this is what God is looking for. I think God is looking for people that are just going to appreciate him. And think about what he has done for us. Through Christ, what he has provided for us. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, if you haven't noticed, I like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Luke, chapter 17, look at verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's almost a good statistic. 1 out of 10 will be grateful. And the 10 were cleansed. All 10 of them were healed of their leprosy. But only one of them realized, hey, it's gone. And leprosy was a disease that there was no cure for. So if they were cured, it was an absolute miracle. And this guy looked and said, I've been cleansed. I'm going to go back and I'm going to thank this man. And the response of Jesus, very, very interesting. Where are the 9? Where are those other 9? And he was pointing out this one that came back was a Samaritan. Jews hated the Samaritans. But he was grateful. Grateful for what God had done. And just thanked him. And remember that verse in Philippians. When we make those requests known to God, it's going to be with thanksgiving. I'm going to thank him for what he has done. Because he has done for me what I can't do for myself. And he has given me assurance of eternal life. And again, those things that happen that I don't know. I don't have an explanation for it. But there's one thing I do know. I have eternal life because of what Jesus Christ did. What he did on the cross counts for me. I don't have to understand all these other things. I don't have to be encumbered about by all of the worries around me and trying to figure out why this person isn't doing that or this. It's me. Here's the temple. This is where he dwells. This is the one thing that I need. The one thing that I need to sit down before him, to sit at his feet and listen to his word. And then make sure that my life is giving him pleasure, because that's why we're here. You know, why did God create all this? Why did he create man? And because knowing that man was going to mess it up? I don't know. Guess he just wanted to. Guess he wanted to share some of it. So here we are. He has created it for us to share. So look for the one thing that's needed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that on the cross, the penalty was paid for our sin. We thank you for that, and we know that that one thing that's needful for us is to just give you thanks for what you have done. And may you be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.